become beautiful melodies in each of your hearts. And now I want to set my time watch so that I don't talk too long. I knew a Jesuit once. You know the Jesuits, they're an interesting group of priests, brothers. And this Jesuit once, he started his lecture to us. I forget what the lecture was about, but he started by saying, what do you call a martyr? And we all thought to ourselves, well, what do you call a martyr? We didn't know. He says, well, we Jesuits say, someone who lives with a saint is known as a martyr. And we all thought that was kind of funny. If you've lived in the religious life at all, and you've, that is, you know, around people who are specialists, you might say, in the things of religion. So there's always a certain number of people who go around, and they really, they take their spiritual exercises very seriously, and the rest of us who don't take it so seriously, sometimes we feel like, well, this is not going to be easy to get along with this particular person. We're the martyrs. Anyway, it's a good old Jesuit joke. But I bring it up here because I want to introduce us to the theme of martyrdom a little bit. And so you're probably saying to myself, oh, now why are you going to talk about martyrdom? I mean, this is Easter time. We have alleluias all over the place. We're in a time of festivity and celebration in the Christian liturgical calendar. So why do we need to bring up the topic of martyrdom? And yet right there, the very first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we have the story of the martyrdom of the person who is considered to be the first Christian martyr, called in the Eastern Orthodox tradition Stephen the proto-martyr, the first martyr. In a way, he's not really the first martyr, because really the first martyr is Jesus. So Stephen is really the first disciple of Jesus to be martyred. But the account of his martyrdom right there in the Acts of the Apostles, right in this early period of the church, when the church, you know, is experiencing the vibrations of the resurrection victory of Christ in the early Christian community. And, you know, we see the disciples going around. They're emboldened because they thought the whole cause of Christ was finished, and they're emboldened, and they're preaching. Peter's preaching, and Paul is preaching, and everybody's quite at it. Well, at this particular time, Paul's not yet preaching, because when you read the account here of the martyrdom of Stephen, as you heard it, you may have missed it a little bit, but it says that those who were stoning him cast their robes down at the feet of a man named Saul. Well, that Saul was probably the one who went on to become Paul, the great proclaimer of the victory of Christ. But at this particular point, he was not really a follower of Christ. He was probably with those people who were stoning Stephen. Anyway, there it is, the account of martyrdom. And somehow, martyrdom has always been an aspect of what it is to be a follower of Christ. And its accounts of martyrdom are within the history of the church all down through the ages. And of course, we have our martyrs today as well. I want to talk a little bit more about that in a second here. But the thing is about martyrdom is that it's a kind of a cautionary tale for us Christians, because as we celebrate the resurrection and all of these alleluias that we have, I guess Scripture is trying to warn us, be careful what you are celebrating. Be aware of what we are celebrating. What is it that we are celebrating? Well, of course, the person who was resurrected, Christ, Jesus, was the same person who was crucified, who underwent martyrdom. So what we are celebrating really is a victory that does cause us to break forth into alleluias, I guess we could say. But what we are celebrating is the victory of the kind of witness and love that Christ manifested for us in his life, even to the point of dying for us, even to the point of upsetting the authorities of his day, and in a certain sense, bringing down upon him the wrath of the powers of his day. So we're really celebrating that kind of self-emptying, selfless love, and we Christians believe, because of the resurrection, that there is a divine power at work in that love. And that's what we're celebrating. And so, sometimes, down through the ages, people are called to imitate, in a way, that crucified form of love that Jesus manifests. Now, Jesus didn't go around saying, "Oh, dear Father, let me suffer and let me be crucified." No. That's, you know, remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass me by. If I must, then I will. But if there is another way, please bring that." So, of course, Christianity is not like if we follow the example of Christ, it's not saying to us, "Oh, let's all go out and try to get martyred." No, that's not what we're saying. But we're saying we are to be witnesses of this selfless kind, self-giving kind of love, which sometimes can reach heroic levels if we're really going to live it out and witness to it in our lives. We pray God that we won't have to have it go to that extent, but if need be, we are willing. That's what our life is all about. And we trust somehow, like Stephen. You know, I always wondered, when these people are called to martyrdom like they are, what must it be like? Can you imagine? The text here, though, says, you know, from Acts, it says that Stephen had a vision, a mystical vision, we could say. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." That's a kind of interesting sort of thing. Usually when we see pictures of Jesus, and the Psalms talk about, he's seated at the right hand of God, the Father with the Son. But in this particular vision, Jesus stands. And I've always thought of that, it wasn't my own little original thought. I mean, biblical commentators have talked about this. Perhaps the Son stands out of respect for Stephen, coming to him to greet him and to welcome him in respect into one of those dwelling places that the Father has that Jesus talks about in the gospel. And is that what happens when we are martyred? That somehow we have this mystical vision like this? And the Father is there, and the Son stands and greets us and welcomes us in. Is that what goes on? I'd like to hope and believe it is. Now, in the tradition of the church, there are many kinds of martyrs. We talk about the red martyr, and the red martyr is the one who sheds his or her blood. And that's Jesus, that's Stephen, and those are the classic, you know, paradigm cases of martyrdom in the history of the church. But then the church goes on to talk about, well, we have like white martyrs and green martyrs and we have blue martyrs. They use a kind of spread of different kind of colors. We don't need to get into all of that. But what they're trying to say is that the word martyr simply means witness. It's the Greek word for witness. So if one is witnessing to their belief in the victory of Christ's message about the life-giving nature of sacrificial love, if that's what we're witnessing to in our lives, We're martyrs in a certain sense. You can witness to that as a parent, taking care of your kids and so on, teaching, bringing them up, forming them in this kind of thing. So like mothers, for example, who are, or those who mother us, whose lives are filled with a lot of self-sacrificial love on our behalf. Sometimes at great cost to themselves. Well, that's a martyrdom. That's a witness. It's a true form that we wouldn't call that necessarily. It's not a red martyrdom in the sense that it's you spill your blood, although there are many a parent, many a mother who would be willing to spill her blood to protect her children if she had to. The early monks were considered to be another form. If you're living the monastic life, you live the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. That also can be a form of martyrdom. I think myself, right now, in this COVID-19 situation that we're going through globally in the world, that the Lord is causing us to recognize ever new forms of martyrdom, of witness to self-sacrificial love for the sake of others. You've got, you know, it's just, it's all around us, those people who are putting themselves in harm's way for the sake of others. And you could just go right down the list. I don't need to list them all, but they just stand out, obviously. Healthcare workers, people in assisted living situations, people like Zoe, one of our readers today, who is in the medical world. She's a doctor dealing with prisoners and trying to bring them medical aid. Down the line, these are martyrs. Pray God. It'll be a white martyrdom or a green martyrdom or a blue martyrdom, whichever color you think is expressive of what they are doing, and hopefully it will not be a red martyrdom. But there have been many people ministering in this COVID-19 situation who have gone to the extent of the red martyrdom, the spilling of their blood, so to speak, for the rest of us. So on this Mother's Day, then, let us think about these people, those in our lives who have witnessed to us to the self-sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. Let us think about them. Let us be thankful for them. I'd like to think that as they go through their witness and their martyrdom, that they have a vision, a mystical vision like Stephen, and know the joy that he had.